The human resources imps billet me in a bed and breakfast run by a genteel pair of elderly high Tory sociopaths, a Mr. and Mrs. McBride. He's bald, loafs around in slippers, and reads the Telegraph while muttering darkly about the need for capital punishment as a solution to the problem of bogus asylum seekers. She wears heavy horn-rimmed glasses and a hairdo that time forgot. The corridors are wallpapered with an exquisitely disgusting floral print, and the whole place smells of mothballs, the only symptom of the 21st century being a cheap and nasty webcam on the hall staircase. I try not to shudder as I slouch upstairs to my room and barricade the door before settling down for the evening phone call to Mo and a game of Civ on my palm top, which I rescued from security on my way out. "It could be worse," Mo consoles me. "At least your landlord doesn't have gill slits and greenish skin." The next morning, I elbow my way onto an early train to London, struggle through the rush hour crush, and somehow manage to weasel my way into a seat on a train to Milton Keynes. It's full of brightly clad German backpackers and irritated businessmen on their way to Luton Airport, but I get off before there and catch a taxi to the cop shop. There is nothing better in life than drawing on the sole of your slipper with a biro instead of going to the pub on a Saturday night. The lead singer of Half Man, Half Biscuit sings mournfully on my iPod, and I am inclined to agree, subject to the caveat that Saturday nights at the pub are functionally equivalent to damp Thursday mornings at the police station. "Is Inspector Sullivan available?" I ask at the front desk.
"Just a moment."
The mustachioed constable examines my warrant card closely, gives me a beady-eyed stare, as if he expects me to break down and confess instantly to a string of unsolved burglaries, then turns and ambles into the noisy back office round the corner. I have just enough time to read the more surreal crime prevention posters for the second time. "Are your neighbours fox-hunting reptiles from the planet of the Green Wellies? Denounce them here, free of charge." When the door bangs open, and a determined-looking woman in a grey suit barges in. She looks how Annie Lennox would look if she'd joined the constabulary, been glassed once or twice, and had a really dodgy curry the night before.
"Okay, who's the joker?" she demands.
"You." A bony finger points at me.
"You're from..."
She sees the warrant card.
"Oh, shit."
Over her shoulder.
"Jeffries. Jeffries, you rat bastard, you set me up. Oh, why do I bother?"
Back in my direction.
"You're the spook who got me out of bed the day before yesterday after a graveyard shift. Is this your mess?"
I take a deep breath.
"Mine and yours both. I'm just back down from..."
I clear my throat.
"And I've got orders to find an Inspector J. Sullivan and drag him into an interview room."
Mentally crossing my fingers.
"What's the J stand for?" "Josephine. And it's Detective Inspector while you're about it."
She lifts the barrier.
"You'd better come in, then."
Josephine looks tired and annoyed.
"Where's your other card?"
"My other... oh." I shrug. "We don't flash them around. Might be a bit of a disaster if one went missing." Anyone who picked it up would be in breach of Section 3, at the very least, not to mention in peril of their immortal soul.
"It's okay. I've signed the section in blood."
She raises an eyebrow at me. "Paragraph 2? I ask, just to be sure she's not bluffing. She shakes her head.
"No, paragraph 3.
"Pass, friend." And then I let her see the warrant card as it really is, the way it reaches into your head and twists things around so you want to throw up at the mere thought of questioning its validity.
"Satisfied?"
She just nods, a cool customer for sure. The trouble with Section 3 of the Official Secrets Act is that it's an offence to know it exists without having signed it, in blood. So us signatories, who are in theory cleared to talk about such super-secret national security issues as the laundry's tea-trolley rotor, are in practice unable to broach the topic directly. We're supposed to rely on introductions, but that breaks down rapidly in the field. It's a bit like lesbian sheep. As ewes display their sexual arousal by standing around waiting to be mounted, it's hard to know if somebody else is, well, you know, cleared.
"Come on," she adds,
in a marginally less hostile tone. "We can pick up a cup of coffee on the way."